You know, like I said, through the autumn as a church, we are going through this practicing the way course. And we're thinking more about what it means to be a follower, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be an apprentice of our chief rabbi, Jesus. We're currently in between weeks 2 and 3. And for those that will remember that, what happened in week 2, but these 2 weeks come together really well. So I feel week 1 was an introduction. Week 2 and 3 are like 2 halves that will come together. So if you came to week 2 and week 3, I'll bring that second half together for you. See, last time we were asked to consider the fact that we are either being conformed to the patterns of this world, or we're being transformed by our faith in Jesus Christ. This verse from Romans 12, verse 2. As Christians, and he basically said, there's no kind of plan B. There's no third option. We're either being conformed to the patterns of this world, or we're being transformed by our faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about, in the last time we met on this course, unconditional spiritual formation. It sounds a bit wordy, I understand that. But we looked at 6 forces that influence us, that shape us, that mould us as people, just by living, just by breathing, just by being. And these 6 forces, or these 6 things, were our habits and our stories, our relationships, our environment, our experiences and time. Unintentional spiritual formation. Things that just as we go about our lives, just the fact that we're breathing daily, these things will have an influence on us and have the opportunity to shape us and, form us. This coming week, we're going to be thinking about how we can intentionally, not unintentionally, but intentionally, make our faith and Jesus become the most important part of our spiritual formation. That's why the two halves come together. This week we're thinking, last time we looked at the things that unintentionally will form us and shape us just by being. But this week we'll be thinking about how intentionally, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as God's people, we can make our faith in Jesus the most important part that kind of becomes part of our spiritual formation. There's a quote this time, and it says this: nobody becomes like Jesus accidentally. I've really kind of thought about that quote a lot. I think it's a kind of prominent quote. Nobody becomes like Jesus accidentally. I don't believe you come like Jesus just by sitting there going. I think there's more to it, and it's that more to is having to do things and that helps us to become more like Jesus. Now, I have to admit, I was kind of been wondering, how do I preach from here during the course? Bit of a dilemma for me. Because not all people are doing the course in church. A lot of people are, fantastic. But not all people in church are doing the course for different reasons. I understand that. So then I feel, if I just preach about the course, I'll be like, I'm not doing the course. Why? And it's like, probably won't be like that. But I get this idea that people may be a bit put off. So I have to think, is it fair on them? And obviously, I don't just want to duplicate the course material, because that's pointless as well, because people are doing the course, and I don't just want to just do the same thing over again. But I must admit, I do feel that I want to build into the course sometimes during this period, not all the time. And I want to talk about a couple of things, particularly today. The first thing I want to talk about is something that on my title of my paper I've called Slow Fade. For me, this comes from the title of a a Casting Crowns song. I don't know if you've heard of the Christian band Casting Crowns. Excellent American band, but really good, fantastic songs. And it's a song that I heard a number of years ago, and the lyrics of the song stayed with me ever since. This song of theirs called Slow Fade. And one of the lyrics of this song says this: people never crumble in a day. And the idea behind the song is this kind of subtle and dangerous change that can happen over time, I suppose. And the story, actually, if you watch the video of the song, it's about this guy who is kind of slowly being tempted into, I suppose, being influenced by this opportunity of this attraction to this other woman who's not his wife. And it shows, and it kind of goes through the video as the song is playing. So if you ever get a chance to listen to Casting Crowns, Slow Fade, watch the video. Not at the moment, but just maybe when you get home at some point. But it has this idea behind it of subtle, dangerous change. There used to be an illustration, or maybe there still is an illustration, that if you put a frog in cold water, then you slowly increase the temperature of the water. The frog stays in the water until it dies. The illustration, though I believe it has actually been debunked, but the idea of the illustration is of slow, gradual, dangerous conditioning, isn't it? That's the idea of this frog as you turn up the water. Slow, gradual, dangerous conditioning. And I believe that this can happen both culturally and spiritually. Slow fade. I'm sure that we all know that society has changed and is changing. And there are many things that once were unacceptable, but are now very much acceptable. Now, some might argue some of these are for the better. But I believe there are many things which, like the frog in water, where it was taken society down a slow, gradual, and dangerous conditioning. This then, of course, can and does have an influence on us, on our spirituality. For example, there is the danger now of watering down of God's truth in the world in which we live in today. And it can happen slowly over time, slow, dangerous, subtle conditioning. Charles Spurgeon, a very famous preacher, once said this: one reason the church has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. When you read that, that's a bit of an ouch statement, isn't it? What? One reason the church has so little influence over the world, which is what we talk about having, isn't it, is because the world has so much influence over the church. And maybe we can see some of that if we were to stand back and go through some things. You know, the Bible talks about us sometimes, doesn't it, as being like clay in the potter who is God's hands. We've sung about it already, actually, this morning, about the potter's hands, being clay in the potter's hands. And it's an illustration that sometimes, is again, of God's people. We're like clay in God's hands. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And now, as I say all this, my question really is this: whose hands are on the clay? Whose hands are moulding us? Whose hands are shaping us? Is it the world around us? Or is it Jesus? And I think there has to be a real need for discerning what and who is influencing us most in our lives. And I think we have to say, and that's what the course has already began to get us to think about. What are the influences around us in our lives, and how are they influencing us? And are they the right influences, or are they dangerous influences? As we go on to look at what does it mean to make Jesus the priority, the biggest influence on our lives. At the end of the video of the kind of the Casting Crown songs, Slow Fade, basically it kind of finishes with the guy and his daughter's asking him where he's going. He's actually in church. And he's the tempt in this kind of, as you've watched the video, the temptation is that he's going to be going off to see this other woman. But his daughter asks him where he's going, and in the end he says, no, I'm staying here with you. And it's this idea at the end that we have the choice. We have choice. We have free will, don't we? We have to choose in the end. We have to make that stand of what is going to be the influence around our lives. Is it the world in which we live in today, or is it our faith in Jesus Christ? And how much we need to be aware of the slow, dangerous conditioning that the world sometimes can have on society, but then on us as God's people in society, and even in our faith and our spirituality. So that's kind of my first point, really. But I want to focus on one particular, for my next point, I want to focus on one particular area of influence. And it's one of the ones that was mentioned in the course, but it didn't go into in great detail, but I think it's worth mentioning again. And it's about our relationships. See, our relationships play a big part in influencing, in shaping who we are today and who we are becoming. And I've been thinking about that a little bit through my devotions. And I think some of you might say, oh, we've not done read from the Bible today. Where's his Bible reading today? Well, really, it stems from this one verse. So my Bible versing really is this verse. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools will be destroyed. That's my Bible reading today. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, it's clear from that we need to be mindful of the companions that we keep. Those people who make up our lives, surround our lives. Those people we spend time with. See, they will, and they are, influencing us. Our decisions, our character, our attitudes, our actions, our morality, our belief. The people we hang with are influencing us. I think, they do have an impact on us. And Proverbs kind of says we need to be aware of kind of two kinds of people that might be surrounding our lives, might make up part of who we are. The first, he says, walk with the wise. To me, these are people who add to us, who help us keep on the right path that leads to life, that leads to a godly life. Perhaps these are people with integrity and honesty, who are caring, who are loving. Perhaps these are people themselves who are living in the truth of God's life. Or we could have be companions of fools. To me, it's those people who perhaps take away from us, lead us down wrong paths that lead us to destruction and regret. Perhaps these are people who are reckless, who are selfish, who are dishonest, who have a low moral code, who themselves are living very much outside of God's truth in their own personal lives. So I just want to mention a few things about those people that influence us. Just one of the things that can influence us. People. First thing I want to say is this. Be thankful. What I mean by that is be thankful for those good and positive relationships, both past and present in our lives. And I hope that some of you, as you reflect on your lives and as you think about your lives now, you can think of people in your lives that are good people, wise people, positive people that add to you, that, you know, that give to you as people. Maybe it's your parents for some. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a good friend or friends. Maybe it's even a pastor of old. And maybe as those people spring to mind, particularly if they're current people, you think to yourself, I'm thankful for them. But more than that, I want to let them know that I'm thankful for them. And maybe something you could do this afternoon is just text somebody and say, I'm thankful that you are my friend, or that you have influenced me in a good way, that you have added to me. You are one of the ones who I see as wise. Thank you. We need to acknowledge, don't we? Be thankful for those people that have shaped us and influenced us, some that we've moved past now, and then there are others who maybe hopefully are influencing and shaping us in a good way now. Let's be thankful for those people. Celebrate them. Come on. Thank you, God, for them. The second thing is I think we need to consider the negative influences of past relationships. What I mean by that is I think for some people, I'm sure they have had past relationships that have not been the best for them. And we might need to consider what effect those relationships have had on us and what we still might be carrying from them. So, for example, we might have had a past relationship that in the end, now, if we look at it, and we're still carrying the hurt of those relationships, or we've been let down with people, so we're carrying now mistrust in our relationships because of our experiences of a negative past relationship that let us down. So we might need to consider our past a little bit. We might need to reflect a little bit, not to just stir up old hurts or negative feelings, but we might need to realize that sometimes we carry stuff even now from those past relationships, the influence they had on us. I've included in this loss. Now, what I mean by that is I'm not calling people that we lost, that we've lost, a negative relationship. That's not right. What I am saying is that sometimes we might need to be aware or be careful of how we carry loss, of how we carry sadness and its ongoing impact in our lives. Of course, if we lose someone, we'll always carry a sense of hurt to a level. We, you know, people that have meant something to us, that are special to us. How could we not? And we should never, we're not talking about forgetting any of that. But sometimes how we carry it is not always the best going forward because it kind of weighs us down. If you look back and you think about the negative relationships on your life and how they affect you now, or how you consider those that you've lost and how that continues to affect you now, all I can say to you is you need to take that stuff to God, really. It might sound really simple. A bit too simple for me, David, that one. I need a bit more. Well, no, I think you just have to go to God with that stuff. If you're hurting from past relationships, if you're struggling with sadness, I think you have to just go to the big God and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me carry this stuff better? Would you heal some hurts, perhaps? Would you do that? So I think we need to be thankful of relationships that have been positive in the past and now. I think we need to consider the negative influences of past relationships. I think also what we knew is we need to be kind of godly discerning about our current relationships. And I was a bit cool here because I've got three words and they all sound similar. So I like that. Pray, stay, and away. That might mean you can remember it. Pray, stay, and away. Thinking about our current relationships. First thing I'd say is pray. Pray about them. Pray about the people that surround your life now. Are they the right people, the best people, the people that God wants you to be around, spending your time with, that is influencing you? So we do need to put that before God. We need to pray about our relationships, don't we? It's a big part of our life. It plays a big influence on our lives. So we need to pray about our relationships. The second thing sometimes we need to do is I think we need to stay. And what I mean by that is we need to choose people who are good for us, that encourage us, that help us, especially those that help us to be our best us, and those that help us to stay close to Jesus and grow in our faith. So we need to think about those that are in our lives now that we need to stay alongside. We need to make sure we spend maybe even extra time with, because they add to us, they keep us on the right path, they encourage us, they help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus and in our faith. But then I put the word away. What I mean by that is, sometimes we might need to have to walk away from some relationships, particularly those that are not good for us, especially those who might be leading us away from our faith. And I'm very much aware that that is not always easy to do. And actually, in some ways, it's not even always possible to do, particularly if they're like family. But I think we do need to have that discernment about our current relationships. Relationships play a big influence on us. We need to pray about them. For some, we need to stay in them and we need to push more into them. And for others, we may need to walk away from and let go of. As the Bible reminds us, when we walk with the wise, we become wise. But when we are companions of fools, we will be destroyed. And just a little note here, we're not called to just spend our times with Christians. Blimey, that drives us up the wall, wouldn't it, sometimes? We're called to be in the world, but not of it. Because some people could interpret what I'm saying in a wrong way. And what I mean by that is they could say, well, if I'm only meant to spend my time with wise people that are going to be add into me, you could say something like, well, I'm not going to go and help, for example, at the lighthouse. Because at the lighthouse, there's some people that are really struggling and a bit messed up and a bit kind of like, and you think, maybe I shouldn't go and be there because, you know, I don't want them to influence me. But the idea is also that we're meant to be influencers, aren't we? That's why we go there and serve, because actually we're meant to influence those around us for the goodness of God. So don't get me wrong. Don't think, oh, David's just told us to spend time with Christians, those wise and loving Christians. We've got to be in the world, but not of the world. But we need to be careful about the influence of our relationships. Pray about them. Stay away. Two words. And finally, as I've been kind of finished, I think we just need to consider the influence of our relationship with Jesus. And I think we need to make, as Christians, as if you say today you're a Christian in this place today, I think you need to make Jesus a top priority, especially if you want to be more like Jesus. Say that again. We have to consider the influence of our relationship with Jesus and make it a top priority, especially if we want to be more like Jesus. In this course this week, we'll hear these words. Many people want to be more like Jesus, but they just don't know how. This week on the course, we're going to look more at how we become more like Jesus. We're going to look at things like his practices and his teachings. We're going to look at the importance of community. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We're even going to look at suffering. And how all these different things can become, we pray, and intentionally make these things the strongest priority of influence on our faith and our walk and the person that we are and the person that we are becoming. So in some ways, today, it's sort of in between these two parts of the course. I realise that. And if you're not in the course, I think hopefully it still stands what I'm saying. This sense of this influence that happens around us, some intentionally, some of it a lot unintentionally. This sense of that we get impacted by things in, that we live in, just by breathing. The fact that we've got up this morning and we've walked it around and we're going to turn the telly on and we're going to look at social media or we'll watch whatever it might be. We're being influenced all the time. We need to be careful of what is influencing us, how it's influencing us, how it's conditioning us. Is it for the best? Is it, or is it dangerous? And then we need to think about how God becomes our priority. But think about today, I've focused on one area, our relationships, about the relationships that surround us, the people we hang out with. Some I know we can choose and some we just are. But we need to pray about our relationships. We need to think about the good relationships and make sure we have good relationships that add into us and help us on our Christian faith, wise people that help us to be wise. But we also need to think about those that might be damaging us, that might be turning us away from God in some ways. I know it happens because I've seen it. There are some people who are not in church at the moment because they've been influenced by, sadly, people around them. They've walked with companions of fools, and they've taken them down a road which is not the best for them. So we need to pray hard. And in the end, it's about how we make Jesus the top priority, the thing that shapes us, that molds us, the things that helps us, and most of all these other things are important. But if I'm a Christian, if I'm an apprentice of Jesus, that he's got to be the one I look to first and foremost. Because I know in the end he's only got my best. He's only got the best for us, hasn't he? He loves us. He sacrificed his life for us. I thank you for him, that I've got him. Amen. We're going to think about that. We'll pray about it. But I thought I just picked an old song, to kind of respond to as we pray. But I just picked the song, Jesus, You Were Changing Me. Let's put the words up, Anthony, is that right? Sorry. Working hard today, Anthony, he's on his own. Come on, Anthony, well done, mate. No Phil, no Dan. There we go. And just read the words, Jesus, You Were Changing Me. By your spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're changing me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. Back it on. Can you are the potter, I am the clay. That's what we talked about, didn't we? Clay in Jesus' hands. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me, as I let you reign supreme within my heart. And that last line, I think, is the key. Are we willing to let him reign supreme in our hearts? That's what we're praying. If we're not just singing that, if we're saying, you in charge, you're the one I'm going to look to most of all, you're the one that I believe can be the biggest influence, needs to be the biggest influence on me. It's not just singing the words, it's giving him permission. So let's use this song, sing it as we sing it a few times through as a response today.